Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:24 Pacific Standard Time. And today is Wednesday, February 25th. Well, today we had the Saudi Arabian energy minister saying that he thought that the oil market was stabilizing. And as a result, the Brent crude price jumped by about approximately $3, which... In normal circumstances would have constituted a very large upward dynamic, but considering just how much it has fallen, it doesn't look like much on the chart. However, what it does do is that it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows, and that the mean reversion that's been going on for the last month remains in place. Well, the oil market remains sort of the focus of a great deal of attention. And of course, the reason for that is because oil prices are still by far the most watched of all the currency markets. And for good reason. What we've seen is that because oil prices have come down, that's acted as a boost for just about everybody in terms of their wallets, but it's scared a number of central banks in terms of their ability to inflate away the amount of debt that they've accumulated over the last decade. So we've seen that central banks have been very keen to lower interest rates to extend their policy of extraordinary monetary easing. And even though oil prices are rallying, the fact that they had fallen so far has changed the dynamics with which people really approach the market. When you think about it, that people had become used to the possibility that oil would stay above the $100 area in perpetuity, since that it had been doing just that for approximately 3 years, and prices have since halved. Well, when you think then at where Saudi Arabia is coming from, that they're worried that the demand profile hasn't been as strong as they had anticipated, and part of the reason for that is because the Chinese economy has been slowing. That same way of looking at the market isn't just limited to the energy sector. A lot of the supply that's come online from a number of the mining companies has been as a result of this anticipation that the demand growth profile would remain strong for a very long time. Well, what we're now seeing is that that's being revised. The extent to which oil rallies beyond a mean reversion, and of course the fact is that it had pulled back so incredibly violently that it's about halfway through that mean reversion. We can probably get an example of what mean reversion in oil will look like when we look at heating oil, because it bounced so much faster. It pulled back violently yesterday and was a little bit steadier in here today. And, well, the most likely prognosis is that we're going to get quite a bit of ranging as the following the short-term oversold condition was replaced by a short-term overbought condition, and now we're going to get some consolidation of that. When we look more broadly, the Chinese market opened up after the New Year holiday today, and it was down slightly. The Hang Seng was up slightly. The Nikkei continues to hold its breakout, and the ASX was still in positive territory. There's a bit of a short-term overbought condition in Australia, and well, you can say the same thing for many of the European indices, most of which were in mildly negative territory in here today. When you have, of the five best performing shares in the Euro Stoxx 50 this year, well, Airbus really had just unwound a short-term overbought condition and has now just broken its progression of lower rally highs that's been evident for more than a year. But the next four had broken out of what were lengthy ranges. That's basically the three major German automakers and LVMH. And well, they have now got short-term overbought conditions, having had these explosive breakouts, so the potential for some consolidation has increased. Well, broadly speaking, after you have completed such a very long range, and you might get some consolidation, but that it's generally very bullish, so the reactions are probably going to be limited just to a consolidation before the bull trend is reasserted later. Well, considering that the ECB is going to be printing 60 billion euros every month for the next 18 starting in March, then the potential for asset price inflation is quite high. Well, one of the interesting ones is that property prices in Europe have been pretty moribund, but that you're seeing that, say, for example, that Hansteen Holdings, which is a euro-focused REIT in the UK, has broken out, so that people aren't just looking at the stock market for the potential for asset price inflation, that the property market is also likely to benefit, and the Euro ABS market is also something that could benefit from the ECB's purchases. They already hold a great deal of sovereign debt. They're going to be buying more of it, and they probably have to buy longer dated maturities because they already own a lot of shorter dated maturities, and those shorter dated maturities are in many cases trading at negative yields. Well, if we're going to look at how did the Fed do its purchases? Well, they split them between treasuries and Fannie and Freddie Mac or really mortgage bonds. Well, the Eurozone's ABS market or asset-backed market isn't nearly as mature as the USA's, but that would really be a green light for syndication desks right across Europe to get busy, because they're going to have a willing buyer in terms of the ECB. So, I'm currently looking into that, and if I find anything that might be interesting, I'll certainly post it in Comment of the Day over the next week. When we look at the US, there is this continued sense of impending doom that we see in terms of the commentary, and not least the way it's referring to the cyclically adjusted PE, that some people are very worried that on that basis, at least, that companies are no longer cheap. Well, we have also posted these charts of the fact that margin debt is incredibly high. Well, that's not particularly surprising, considering the fact that extraordinary monetary policy has been very much a feature of the markets since 2009 and remains so. If this has been a liquidity-fueled market and central banks are increasingly active, then there's no shortage of liquidity. Liquidity is both mobile and global. So, money that is created in one part of the world can quite easily find its way to the most attractive assets. Well, so far this year, the European area has certainly attracted a great deal of attention, and so has Asia. I've met a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of people talking in the media about the fact that the US is just too expensive relative to everywhere else, and yet we continue to see that the markets are in the region of all-time new highs, and these are still very consistent trends. When we look at that type of environment, then the possibility is increasingly large that we are going to enter a mania, that people are still sitting on the sidelines and they're waiting for an opportunity, and that it hasn't yet really occurred. Certainly hasn't occurred with in the way that people would like to see it happen in order for them to jump in. There's still a lot of money on the sidelines. That's generally not the kind of environment where you would see a major bull market topping out. The fact that we are even having the conversation about cyclically adjusted PE suggests that people are not fully invested. When that's the case, and we think then, and go back to when we talk in the chart seminar about the psychological perception stages of major bull and bear markets, well, it's certainly not stage one. This is no longer a depressed environment, and there's plenty of evidence that we've had a big bull market. Well, considering the fact that we've been rising, that the market's been rising for much of the last 5 years, well, we're well and truly towards, if not the middle, or not the end, then certainly the latter stages of the acceptance stage. Well, that leaves then the third psychological perception stage, which is euphoria. Well, not every bull market ends in euphoria, but there's a lot of money still on the sidelines, and this is an increasing possibility that with the pace of the advance and the way that the biotechnology sector in particular is attracting investment, that, and not least because of extraordinary monetary policy, that we could get a mania developing, or that, in other words, that markets could start to accelerate higher, the pace of the advance could pick up. Well, in that case, that a market that is no longer cheap could become increasingly expensive. That's why monitoring the consistency of trends at this particular time is more important than at any time in the last 5 years. When we have to continue then to ask the question, is there any sign of major trend ending, type 1, type 2, or type 3? And the answer still is no. When we look at government bonds, the US 30-year had pulled back all the way to the mean and found support yesterday and rallied again in here today. When we look at that, the yield chart, where you have this progression of lower rally highs, then the mean reversion is complete and now the yield is compressing once more. And this also remains quite a consistent trend. The fact that you can have both bonds and equities rallying at the same time is really a testament, and perhaps the most powerful testament, to the fact that this remains a liquidity-fueled environment. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.